Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the 138th episode of League of Rage Pokemon Trading Card Game Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp. I'm joined today by a very special temporary guest host. Back by popular demand, we have the one and only Grant Mathey, aka the Budget Grant, Boo CK. Grant, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for that intro. Yeah, fourth best Grant. If anyone wants to field a team of four of the same name and play us, I feel really confident in our chances. But yeah, great to be here. Great to not be filling in for you for once.
Love to see it.
And get to be the expert guest.
So this is a situation where neither of us are experts, but I think we've put a little more time in than most people, and that is looking at the Japanese meta today. So it's been, what, 2 weeks where they have rotation plus, I don't know what their sets are called, but what equates to our temporal forces. So we're going to be talking about the decks that are doing the best in their city league so far, which is the equivalent of a league cup, but a larger league cup. Those of you in the Florida, Toronto area, you post about these 100-person league cups. Yeah, it's about that. And for the rest of the world, it's pretty big tournament. So we're going to be looking at the most successful decks so far, which are also the most played decks. It's a pretty one-to-one between most played and most successful. So we'll look at those, look at the list, talk about what we think is going to stick around, because this is most likely going to be the exact same format as our EUIC. But of course, this is very, very early data, so don't take anything we say as gospel, because my goodness, just looking at these results, things have to change because these cannot be completely correct. But it feels like there's something good to be looking at, right? Grant, what are your overall thoughts? Are you kind of in that same boat as me of this can't be right?
Well, I think it is right to a degree. We'll get into it, the fact that Charizard is easily the number one deck. There's probably reasons behind that we'll get to, but that doesn't surprise me that much. But some of the other decks that show up are either really garbage or could be really good, but it's so early, like you said, 2 weeks in, we've got 2 weeks of data to comb through. And, with new archetypes, there's always a lot of testing and time to figure things out. What the deck should do, but how do you get them to do it?
For those of you on YouTube, I do have pulled up as our third guest screen the screens that I'm going to be looking at, which is going to be the tier list and things like that. For audio only listeners, don't worry, we're not going to leave you hanging like some other podcasts might. We're going to be describing as if you cannot see it, but if you're on YouTube, you get that extra little added bonus. And I'd like to give a shout out to, I'm not actually sure how to say these, but PokeCA Book and Pokemashi for the resources we are going to be using today. They compile a ton of data. The links will be in the description box of the YouTube video or your podcast as well. If you're I want to see if these guys know what they're talking about and check myself, that's fine. Do your own research. As other very large podcasts would say, don't know if I condone that, but in this case, it's going to be okay. So let's take a look real quick at the tier list in terms of percentage played. I believe that's what it is, or percentage in top cut. Not necessarily winning. We have Charizard as the number one with, this number is actually ridiculous, right? 25%.
Yeah, that's crazy. But we should point out that in this case, it's lumped together the two versions.
Correct. Yeah, so Omnipoke put out a video of the week one results where Charizard was still number one, but Charizard was also number three because they had the Pidgeot and the B-Barrel version. The B-Barrel version is finding a way back home, which I think is incredibly interesting. So I think we start with Charizard. Grant, why do you think Charizard is seeing so much play and so much success so far?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First, if you've played Charizard before, you have the cards. So it's an easy first week. You know, like think about if you're a pack cracker or if you are a online orderer. You know, it takes some time to get all the cards that you would need for a new archetype.
Yeah, Japan has also a legal day one. So there's no 2-week grace period to get the cards. You have to get them on the same day. So there is no online ordering that gets you the cards in time for that one, right?
Exactly. Unless you're in with a shop that gets cards and is opening them up and or sponsored. I don't really know how that goes. Might be a question for the Hegster. Mm-hmm. on how that goes. I know I had a few questions. I forgot to reach out to him, but I'll touch on them later. But yeah, the other thing is it doesn't really lose anything. Mm-hmm. Just VIP pass, which it has a replacement with the Poffin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is. might be a play on Muffin. I'm guessing it's a Pokemon only item or a VGC item or is a Japanese translated word. I don't know. I don't know what a Poffin is. But yeah, so you have all the cards. You just need the Poffins and your A spec of choice, which I think looking through a ton of lists, it's varied, surprisingly. A lot of the belt, mm-hmm. which helps you hit that number 50 plus on EX. So lets you attack a little bit better early.
Yeah,
and I know is one of the problems with Charizard. Like if you put a Raging Moon up and they can't KO it off the rip. Getting that 50 boost is got to be really helpful for the deck.
Yeah, the 50 hits so many good numbers, right? You're now KOing Qian Pao and Roaring Moon without them taking a KO, which normally you have to sit back and wait. In the mirror match, you're able to KO a Pidgeot after they've taken two prize cards, and you're able to KO a Charizard after they've taken three prize cards. Yeah, no, because that'd be 320. After they've taken the four prize cards. Yeah, so it's the same as the Justified Gloves there, but incredibly good in the mirror match, incredibly good in Qian Pao and Roaring Moon, which, spoiler, are going to be decks we're going to talk about very, very, very soon. So
yep.
I've seen people yelling about like, oh, no, they just don't have access to cross switcher, so they're playing this card. But I think there's validity to just playing this card, period, because of how good it is against three of the top decks.
Yeah, I think as we go through the decks, we're going to realize that a lot of the A-specs actually have utility.
Mm-hmm.
It was the doom and gloom of Twitter when it was first announced, but there's a lot of utility in these cards. The cape or whatever, the other one, seems to be popping up in a lot of decks. And I think if on Omnipoke's video, he had a good picture of the other decks, and each one had a different A-spec. So, yeah, don't be sold on the cross switcher or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
Being, you know, the end of the format already. And the only A-spec you need to buy.
Another thing Charizard gets, so most decks lose things. Charizard gets to cut most of their stadium bumps. Path of the Peak is now gone, so yeah. Nothing shuts off Pidgeot. So as we're looking at some of these lists, you know, we have one vacuum, one collapsed. We have one vacuum, one collapsed. So instead of having to spend, you know, two vacuums and three stadiums, cut those artisans for nest balls so your opponent can no longer benefit from them. And then those vacuums, you keep one of them because you still have a couple Arvins, but that's just extra space that you get to play with, which is so good because anyone out there who's played Charizard, you know, you always have a 63 card list and you have to figure it out the night before the tournament. What am I actually going to cut from here? But now you do get a 63 card list because you don't really need a single stadium, although collapsed being able to get rid of the fishes. You know, pretty darn good, right? So that one makes some sense.
Yeah, the fish and the Rotom even at times are are your opponent's win con. So you still want to get those off the board when you need them. But yeah, that's a really good point. Freeing up space in Charizard is scary for the format.
Oh yeah.
Which we're seeing already.
We're exciting.
25%.
Depends what side you're on.
Some people, sure. People that invested early in the... in all the rare Charizards, the eight different versions that are out there.
Heck yeah.
Even though the best one's the bad Charizard, the little flying one.
The way.
The full art, the one with the god packs. What was that, 151?
Oh, heck. Yeah, no, I know the one you're talking about, but also that one is unplayable still.
Yeah.
Poor Fire
Charizard.
I tried
to figure that one out. Yeah. I tried to figure that one out to get you the immediate, you know, start with the KO on Charizard for the mirror, but it's like, all right, you can just play Devo or or the gloves.
Which is interesting. Japan was the one that gave us the TM Devolution, and then these lists are no longer playing it. And so I feel like the Japanese meta is going to get somewhere. So if you're looking at these early lists, that feels like something where we have the belt, the plus 50 belt, the A spec that might be the mirror tech, the only one you need. But if Charizard is this popular, and the Pidgeot Charizard specifically, I would assume TM Devolution is going to start coming back into lists quite a bit. Let's go ahead and look at the next one. So
okay.
The next, yeah, I mean, Charizard, it just is Charizard, right? If you look at a post-rotation list, you're like, this is just a standard format list with an A spec. Like, it's not different. The next one down, we have both in terms of championship points and in terms of play, we have the one and only Qian Pao. Oh, you love to see Qian Pao. Japan was like, all right, in the Paldean Fates form, not Paldean Fates, the current format we have in this standard, like Qian Pao's the best thing. Everyone bought into it, and then it flopped pretty hard. Although I will say, I think Qian Pao's a pretty okay play going into the last couple of regionals before rotation. But it is doing incredibly well, and we see a couple different versions. We see Baxcalibur, and we also see some Qian Pao Palkia versions doing well as well. You see the Iron Hands, you see no Iron Hands, you see Cologne with the Greninja, of course, and the cross switcher. Someone who's listening to this is yelling at their headphones or their car stereos trying to tell us what the name of it is. The thing, the A spec that lets you Guzma, that one. So there's a lot of stuff coming from Qian Pao, and I really think the deck is kind of scary. Like, you get Guzma as an item, so Irida is now a gust effect. So instead of playing one gust effect, you play, you know, six with counter catcher Irida and this item. You still have B-Barrel, you still have Baxcalibur, you still have Irida. You got to go back to that, get your Baxcalibur rare candy. You still have Qian Pao, you still Oko things, which is great because you're the only single prize deck that is actually a two prize deck, right? Roaring Moon, they got to put the Roaring Moons on the field. You don't have to put your Qian Pao until you're ready, right? There's just so much good in this deck, and I hate to be like the, yo, Qian Pao is back, but I think Qian Pao should just be back. I think it is in a great spot. Grant, tell me, is this copium?
No, I think you're right. And I looked up the name of it. Spoilers, it's Prime Catcher.
That's way less fun.
Cool. but the point being, Greninja's back is really the thing here. Greninja, the gatekeeper of formats, with the Prime Catcher and Cologne. Now when you want to pull off a play, you only need one card instead, or two cards instead of three, which is crazy. And getting the Greninja going early and often, almost, it's going to shut down a lot of decks, and the speed of it's still the same, right? We know what Qian Pao can do. The problem is the liabilities out there, or just being able to target Baxcalibur's, and then you're kind of screwed because that's your whole engine. But also, Palkia won't die. Still finds a way to. I know it's in some decks now, but Goldango too. So it still lives. But I think it's a great deck. I'm excited to play it. I don't know yet because I haven't done any personal testing what the better version is with or without the hands. Mm-hmm. It feels like, when was testing Moon, testing just straight Moon to grass or to water and lightning, you slowly weaned back down to just pure Moon being the best way to play it. So I'm thinking maybe in this case, you already have Greninja being a water Pokemon, so the synergy's there with your whole deck, that it might just be cut the Moon out, play consistency, play fast. That's probably where I'm leaning. I'll test both, but I have the cards for it. I've played it before, and I'm excited to get back and testing this because I think it's strong. It's a great counter to Charizard, being able to reach those numbers over and over again. And yeah, I don't know. I think we're both on the same page on this one.
Yeah, I really like it. Kind of has that Charizard treatment of you look at these lists and it looks mostly like a standard format list. It's running Pokestop. It's got Prime Catcher and that's a new one, right? But otherwise you have the B Barrel, you have the everything. Everything in this list is standard legal with the exception of PokePass becomes Poffin to get your 90 HP or less Pokemon, which, I mean, that's your Frigibax, that's your Bidoof. Sure, you no longer get your Greninja. It's fine, you'll survive. And then the only other new card in here that every single one of the lists that I'm seeing that did well is running.
I know where you're going.
Cryptomaniac's Deciphering, which is Mallow. Search your deck for two cards, put those onto the top of your deck in any order. So it does go well with B-Barrel, of course, because you can draw whatever cards you just put on top. You can Pokestop, right? You can Cryptomaniacs turn one with the Pokestop in hand, put Poffin Nest Ball, go Poffin plus Nest Ball, right? Grab your Greninja, just conceal it, and you're good to go. So it's one of the cards you can play, but the fact they're all playing it makes me think there might be something there a little more than I am currently thinking there will be. So that's interesting to me. I like it.
Yeah, it's really creative. They're only running one of it. I don't know. Maybe it's worth two if you're, you know, because you can get it, like you said, with Bibarel, but you can also get it with Greninja itself, right? And Pokestop if you're picking those cards. So that turns instantly, if you already have everything, into the Prime Catcher, you know, canceling cologne right there.
That's true. That's pretty good.
Like, okay, here we go. There's two prizes. Your go.
Yeah, I think Charizard is a little overhyped at the moment. And part of that is just it's already a good deck. Rotation loses nothing, so therefore it's going to stay a good deck. Qian Pao seems like one that's going to keep creeping up, although Japan's kind of already going to spoil that for us. But it's going to keep creeping up into the, like, yo, this deck is really good. Just, it has everything. And I don't know what more you really need from a deck when you have a small card pool like that.
Well, I think for us, when our first event will be EUIC, so it should be pretty vanilla list. You know, go with the Torrid method of just consistency.
Yeah,
you might have to do a few techs here or there, but I already see the ways to counter them. You know, with the Toad Scroll, really would shut this deck down. Are you going to throw that in for if you're flying over to London, and are you worried about hitting it or dodging it? Like, I'm playing going to the last few events with Moon. It's like, well, I'll just dodge Guardi and Charizard, which is a bad idea. Tell you that. Don't go in with that mentality when you know it's going to be around 20%, 25% when you add them up. But in this case, you know, is Charizard going to be 25% of EUIC? And maybe, who knows, maybe it is, but are they going to be running like Toad Scroll? Am I going to throw that in? If I'm playing Charizard, am I expecting, what is this, what we're at, 12%?
Yeah.
12% Qian Pao. Like, can I just beat them without it? I don't know. But there's ways around it, right? And it's just a matter of time before whatever becomes the new normal.
For sure. And there's, I don't know, there's a lot of other cool stuff. Let's go ahead and move on to literally the least cool deck humanly possible. I just pulled up the third most popular / most successful deck. It's number three on both, is Arceus Giratina. And if you just vomited a little hearing that, I don't blame you. Because I'm still confused. I have the data in front of me. I have the list in front of me. And I still don't want to believe that this is true. So Arceus Giratina is seeing a fair amount of success. No Path of the Peak. Very important, right? So Judge Path is now a dead strategy. It is good old Arctina. There is B-Barrel. There is, what's the little guy called? Squavette. There is the grass thing that I now have to look up because I completely forgot what it is. Iron Leaves, there we go. I have not played the DLC. So this is the one that when you play it on
Coco.
Yeah, exactly. Tapu Koko GX. You play it onto the field. You can switch the grass energy to it, or it's any energy, I guess, and move it to the active. And then it can do 180 damage for grass colorless. So obviously you can't Arceus to it because Iron Leaves is an EX Pokemon, but doesn't matter, right? You throw this thing down, throw a Sharon's Care down there, and ooh, you're in a pretty good spot, right? You're still swinging. You have your energy good to go. You can attach that Arceus on the bench, and now your opponent's got to deal with something. So this is, I'm trying to make Arceus Giratina sound cool. I'm really trying, y'all. This is just, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to Arceus. I'm going to hit for 280. Yeah. And, you know, that's a viable strategy. I think this goes back to what Grant said. Play the vanilla list, play the consistent thing. And that has to be why Arctine is doing well, right? Is there any other reason?
Well, I mean, it just goes back to Arceus's versatility, right? Mm-hmm. Arceus, like I said with Palkia, won't die. Arceus shouldn't die. It's the better of the two decks. You know, I was playing that instead of Palkia when that came out, all the rage.
Yeah.
But I think, one, it has all the tools, right? Like you said, with the iron whatever, grass iron.
Iron Leaves.
Yeah. But you know what this deck, and it reminds me of always, obviously, with the three energy acceleration is, and now more than ever, is Pikarom. Mm-hmm. Getting that Coco, you know, get to the active and add whatever energies you need to do damage. A good sweeper at the end. One of the lists I think you're showing there has the Gardenia, which is pretty cool.
That's not
think
cool.
About this now.
I refuse.
No, it is.
I refuse.
Because okay. Because you can go, if you whiff energy, I guess. Wait, is it out of hand? Do you attach energy out of
hand? Draw two, attach from hand, yeah.
Okay.
And it's only to the bench.
You can still... Okay.
Gardenia is unplayable. Don't sell me on that.
I was going to say, if you whiff, like it's like if you were playing the water one, Melanie, like you can still power it up.
Yeah. I mean, you could technically still do
technically,
that, right?
Technically, yeah. You need switch. You'd probably need to use the bib to draw cards. But yeah, the big thing again here, we see the belt.
Mm-hmm. Plus 50 is, I mean, 280 plus 50 turns out to be 330, doesn't it? It's a pretty good number to hit.
That and 180 or 200 plus whatever.
50.
It doesn't matter at that point, right? Just to get you like that 220 or 230 number. That's the biggest problem with Arceus is always a two-shot deck.
Yeah. You can't two-shot. Right. Yeah, Qian Pao, you can't two-shot. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
And now you can. You can one-shot them and... yeah, so the deck versatility, right? You're just going... the Sharon to clean up your board. You get to play a ton of bosses. Mm-hmm. Bibberl's just a great... You get two of those down, you're never in trouble.
No, it's so good.
No, you're not getting the card you need specifically, but like the way you thin out so many energies, like you're going to basically find what you need.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a... And then we see in that one on the bottom left has the Toadscruel.
It does, yes. So it is, let's say, beating Qian Pao.
Yeah. It's... So, you can splash whatever you want in an Arceus deck.
Yes.
Wovit and Bibberl are a great pair. Also, good counter to a deck we'll talk about later, but with the Trimmers, mm-hmm. you can Squovit your hand away at the end of your turn, so they're not discarding anything.
That's, you know, viable.
Then you just draw them back with Bibberl. Not bad. So I'm as much as it sucks, and that's always the thing. That's always the thing when you play Arceus. Like, okay, it was kind of fun. People played the Gigas. Like, okay, here's something cool. Here's a new one. And I've played a ton. Arceus has done really well for me. Mm-hmm. You know, day twoing internationals. All that jazz. It's just so good. I think it's really good. It's in a good spot. Yeah, you don't have path, but who cares? No one has path anymore, so whatever.
That's true. You get your abilities, you're good to go.
Yeah.
All right, you KO a Pidgeot, so you know what my path is now? Boss Lost Impact Pidgeot.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Easy.
The next one down... something that is significantly more interesting, and I had to read so many cards for this one. We have the ancient box. Ancient box, of course, means the ancient type Pokemon and using Professor Sada. I've heard people say Sada box. Sure. Why not? Whatever you want to call it. Essentially, what we're doing here is they're all running Fluttermane, which is your opponent's active Pokemon doesn't have any abilities and does 90 plus two damage counters. Pretty cool card, right? Shut something off. If it's, get to snipe.
If it's in the active.
Yeah. Oh gosh, if that was a bench sitter, I'd be so in. I love ability lock. But anyway, they're all running those. They're all running the Roaring Moon, the baby Roaring Moon. These are all single prizers. Running the baby Roaring Moon, that is dark, 70 plus 10 for each ancient Pokemon in your discard pile. Good old B Revenge, right? So that's why you're shoving four moons, four Fluttermanes, and then four of the Coridons, which I have to relook at, but it does damage for each of your future Pokemon in play. It does 30 for each of your ancient Pokemon in play. So you have a full field of them, which judging from these deck lists, you're really only going to have a field of them. You can do up to 180 for two energies. And you're like, is 180 really that good? I kind of, when you're a single prize deck, you know, hitting for 180 with Moon, you know, that Roaring Moon, you're going to do 70 plus 10. Maybe you're only going to do 130, 140. You're going to two-shot everything. And you can always clean stuff up with the Fluttermane as well. So it seems like this is something that people are still cooking, but it seems like there's potential here. This is a lot of success for a deck that is just kind of out of nowhere, right? Like, this is not a pre-built deck. I mean, it kind of is, right? Just shove the ancient Pokemon in, but this is not like, well, you play the Charizard and the Pidgeot, and there's half your deck space, right? Like, there's a lot you can do with a bunch of ancient Pokemon. So what are your thoughts? This seems like a deck that you would pick up. So what are your thoughts looking at these?
Yeah, it's like whenever we get these dual set or two types, you know, battle styles, like, you kind of pick your side, right? And I've, like many, as we see in with the recent regional results, have chosen the ancient side. And I like it, and I think you said it well. It's so early for a new archetype, right? The Baby Moon, the Coridon, the Fluttermane, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Fluttermane.
They're all new cards, right? I mean, it's the deck is, like you said, kind of pre-built for you, like just throw in all the ancient cards, but it's figuring out if you look at those lists. You're seeing 4-4-2. You're seeing 4-4-2-1-1. I don't even know what the other ones are.
That is a Great Tusk and a Volcarona thingy.
Okay.
I don't know what Volcarona does. Sorry. I don't even know Volcarona's name.
Volcarona was out in our set already.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it does either. The one non-ancient looks to be Greninja. Obviously, Greninja's great. Proven to be.
Yeah, that one's
one of the best cards ever.
That's a pretty logical inclusion in most decks.
Yeah, so you're looking at 24 to 30 ancient cards. Yeah, you put the Coridon up to start things off, maybe. And then you can fall behind, and then your counter catcher's in play right away.
Yep.
So if you can trade off from going one for two every time, that's pretty sweet. You're going to win a lot of matches that way. And the new supporter, great for churning through cards. I don't know the name of it. It's an Explorer or something. Look at six, choose two, discard the rest. Yeah, Explorer's Guidance.
It's perfect combos with Sada in the later game. It helps with the Roaring Moon, right? You're just like, I don't need six Fluttermanes, shove them in the discard pile, do more with the Roaring Moon. Pretty good.
Yeah, and we're seeing lists with Dark Patch, without Dark Patch, because you have the Seda, and really cool. Artisan works with it. Really cool deck. The best part about it is Earthen Vessel is an ancient card, which is just an awesome card overall. And here's another instance where we're seeing different A-Spec, the Awakening Drums, another ancient card. Draw a card for each ancient in play. It's going to be 5 to 6. So just pure draw. You're going to find what you need.
I also realized after you said that, I said Moon incorrectly. It's not each ancient Pokemon. It's each ancient card.
Ancient card, right.
Yeah. So each of those earthen vessels is a plus 10. Each booster capsule. Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, yeah. I'm even
so you
more.
Have a, you have a Caridon with the booster capsule on it.
It's a 200
take,
HP
you,
Pokemon.
You take a prizer, you don't? Yeah. You have a big chunky one prizer, and then when that goes in the discard, you have two new, you know, more in there setting up for the moon to be, you know, that much more powerful. The other thing, too, unfortunately, is losing Mew to the format where you would just have an auto win for sure this time. I know we were debating it and before we got started whether you know, Mew's ability against Roaring Moon right now. It's like, well, it's pretty fair actually, but now it would be, you know, over in a second.
Oh yeah, this is obviously not the same thing, but it's kind of like that Inteleon Moltres box where against Mew, you could do nothing as that deck and then attack twice and win, or I guess three times because people played Meloetta back then. But, you know, you could do nothing for many turns. And this is kind of that same vibe. Granted, that doesn't matter because Mew's gone. But
yeah. And the Fluttermane is just an added bonus, I guess.
I'm trying to think.
Know, shutting down abilities is amazing.
Your opponent's active is a Charizard, I guess. They can't. They can't Infernal Rain, or they'd have to go to a different one, right? They'd have to do all the bench. Same thing, Pidgeot as a pivot. They would have to pivot the Pidgeot first or promote whatever they're going to do first. Qian Pao cannot use Shivery Chill. Shivery Chill? Whatever they'd grab two is. I think Shivery Chill is Baxcalibur. There's... you can't Comfy, of course. That's fun. Okay.
That's really great.
Flutter Rain's not bad.
And you're always going to have energy. With the earthen vessels. Are some of those playing the board? I don't think anybody's playing the board, though.
I've not seen it, no.
I'm not even sure what the board does, to be honest with
you. It is one less retreat cost. One...
Okay, so you'd have free retreat. Might be worth an inclusion there just to have that pivot, which doesn't matter, I guess, on your turn, but the one retreat, I don't know.
These are cool. This is the deck I have to touch before I have like strong opinions on it. But the fact that it's doing well gives me hope because I like the idea of this is kind of single prize box and a single prize box that doesn't rely on weakness. Like, you know, something like a Regis did or something like Hoopa Moltres did where like you were really wanting to hit those correct matchups. And this one, not Caridon. Yeah, Caridon. Caridon hits nothing for weakness. It's a dragon type, right? The Fluttermane, I don't even know if you attack with it or if it's just there to shut stuff down. That's not going to hit anything for weakness. Roaring Moon.
I don't think you're attacking with it. It's what, three energies or something?
That's no problem. I always hit it. Roaring Moon is not hitting anything for weakness, except I guess Gardy does technically still exist, right? It's still standard legal. So this is super cool. I like the Ancient Box quite a bit so far.
Yeah, and also to point out, from week one, it was like the eighth most, and now you're seeing it already creep up like three or four spots.
That says a lot. The fact that it went from 8 to 4 in 1 week is pretty big. This is a deck we could see in the Champions League doing incredibly well. The Champions League will be coming before EUIC, so EUIC folks, if you're like, how am I going to know what to play, just play some Pokemon and then wait for the Japanese results and then do what everyone else does, say these are a joke, they don't know how to play Pokemon over there, play something else, and then watch as our results mimic theirs and say, how are we supposed to know this was going to happen?
Yep.
The next one we have is, I'm pretty sure it is Roaring Moon on Noah. This is where things differ between the play rate and the success rate. Roaring Moon is the, what is that, fifth most played deck. But Grant, your boy is struggling now. Roaring Moon is not one of the more successful decks out there. So
yeah, it's not great.
All of these lists look almost identical to what they are now, too. For anyone who's like, oh, that's not true. Oh, my gosh. Wait, what? They don't, because they're playing so many baby Roaring Moons. Is this why they're all doing so bad?
Yeah.
Because they're so heavy on the baby moon, which is not a very good card on its own.
I don't think that's why they're doing bad. I think it's actually decent, because a lot of the times you just want a single prize or you're active.
Oh, more Pico. What else do you need to do? Hit 70. For your treat.
I think part of the problem with it is losing VIP pass, and this one actually hurts.
Oh, valid, yeah.
Since your Poffin doesn't... No. Doesn't work for this deck. Yeah, it's just not, I don't know, it's not great. It is what it is. You can set up and still turbo and get a KO, I guess, going first or second, first turn. The Prime Catcher is a great addition, much needed, as we're seeing, you know, the results from Nashville or Knoxville. Should be in Nashville anyways.
Next year.
In Knoxville, we're seeing just Flip Catcher being a great addition, what the deck really needed to break through into the top eight. But yeah, the Explorer doesn't do much, you know, as much as it does for the other deck. And like you said, yeah, you're playing the baby in the wrong deck anyways.
Boy, I hate all of the lists that I'm seeing here, and I want to move on from Roaring Moon.
Yep, I'd chalk it up as going to fall off and probably be not even played by EYC.
Yo, that's a bold prediction right there.
Chalk it up.
All right, I'm chalking it up. We're coming back to this one if we have to. Next one we have in terms of play rate tied with the Roaring Moon. In terms of success, this is the number six deck. We have Golden Go, or I absolutely love the official translation from Google, is Surf Go, which I feel like is a solid name for a deck. Because all of these have Palkia, therefore they have Greninja and Water Energies, and you know the drill by now. It's very similar to the ones we're seeing in the rest of the world. But this is another deck that I've heard a lot of hype on. So I ordered mine off TCG Player a little while ago because they were $110 or something like that. They were, you know, incredibly cheap. So it's like, all right, I'm going to get these because this is going to be a good deck. And it's not seeing quite the level of success I was going to anticipate at first, because it seemed like, you know, you have the Greninja, pretty good card, right? You have the built-in consistency engine with no more Path of the Peak. You no longer have to play four workers. That's amazing. Worker's a terrible card if it weren't a path bump, right? You can KO anything and everything, and 260 is an incredibly awkward number still for stuff to hit, right? Like Arceus Giratina. All right, they got the Giratina. Sure, Charizard's going to take them a little while to hit that 260. All those baby decks, they're still going to have to two-shot you. You can one-shot them. You're going to trade in that same, you know, 2-1, 2-2 type thing. I wonder why Golden Go is not seeing more success, because the lists look like, again, a current standard list for the most part. They don't really lose anything except VIP becomes Poffin, but that doesn't really matter because your Gimme Ghoul is a, you know, a little baby guy,
little
right?
Baby.
Exactly. So I wonder what's going on with these Golden Ghosts.
Yeah, in my eyes, honestly, it's basically the same deck as Chin Pao. Mm-hmm. It's, you want them on the field. Are you using Backscholar to put it on the field, or do you have it in your hand? So it runs the same risks of item being item locked out. But I think it's a really good deck. And like you said, it's been so hyped. When I got my cards, shout out Tabletop Village. When I got my cards for LAIC,
use code Mellow5.
Mellow5 was one of the decks that we bought the cards for, just as a possibility. Who knows? I'm surprised it dropped from week one. It was fourth, mm-hmm. and now what are we saying? It's at eighth. So maybe it's just people saying the Chin Pao is better, I guess. Easier to reach numbers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why it is the worst of the two. There's really no typing in the game right now, so doesn't really matter what you are. Maybe it's because Chin Pao is a basic and you have to evolve the Goldengo. There's cooler artwork for the Goldengo with the alt arts that stack on top of each other, which is cool, but
have you seen the Paldean Fates gold and blue Chien Pao?
Oh yeah,
it's
true.
Really good. The other gold and blue cards are ugly. Why aren't they all the color of their type? But the Chien Pao one, oh, it's so clean. It's really good.
Well, I think the Chien Pao alt art right now is the best one with the ice blue.
No. Just no.
Yeah, Oh, so great. The other thing, yeah, it's still great. I mean, either route you want to go with, you get the, okay, I see why. Greninja's harder to set up. You have to have the
True.
Palkia. You do the same play, Prime Catcher, Canceling Clone, but it's just so much easier. There's so much more synergies with Chin Pao. I think that's the answer why.
I think you actually brought up something, and I hate to admit when you're right, but the fact that it's potentially just worse than Qian Pao right now, or not right now, but obviously in this format, because you have to set up so many Golden Goes to draw cards, and the B barrels can just kind of do
Better.
that. Yeah, exactly. So you're like, okay, I need two bench sitters versus I'm attacking with my bench sitter consistency card.
Yeah.
And so you need to pull off these big combos, but the big combos are a little less of a big deal because, okay, well, my bench sitters are just going to sit there. I don't have to reestablish them every turn. I don't have to continually churn through. You know, I'm not drawing one single card, just one with the coin bonus ability. So I think you have a point. And you, of course, like you said, you lose the Greninja like against Qian Pao. You know, I Greninja, you're Pidgey, and you're whatever. You're like, okay, well, the Greninja's done now. I'm gonna gust around it. Like, you can do that against Golden
Yeah.
Go. They're not gonna Qian Pao, or they're not gonna Greninja you again. Qian
Right.
Pao's like, you're gonna let me draw two more cards and Greninja you again? Like, why? Thank you. I appreciate that. So I think that's another pretty big deal. If you're gonna use Greninja, maybe it's just better to use Greninja more than once. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I think people are going to play it, but I think again, I'll say this one, bad at EUIC. It'll be more played than Moon. And they will have the same number of results,
This is definitely a
which
deck I
is
expect will be played at quite a bit at EUI, regardless of what
the
happens.
memes. Yeah, it's a meme deck at this point, right? And like I said too, having to evolve it and having to keep spamming down, that's your draw engine. Whereas a Nest Ball just gets you your attacker again.
Oh yeah. The attacker which pulls your combo pieces out with the ability
Yeah,
to grab the
right.
two, right? Like
120 damage.
right, you're
Just by
like,
existing.
I grab use the ability, use an Irida, bam, I've got enough to KO a Charizard right there.
Yep.
If you're gonna play Golden Go, did you know you can use ability use markers? Gotta keep track of them, right? You know where you can get your ability use markers?
Where?
At tcevolutions.com, which has the finest quality trading card game accessories available to anyone. God, that transition was smooth.
Nailed it.
But if you use code LAKE10, LAKE10 at tcevolutions.com, you get 10% off. And if you have not used their products, I highly recommend it. I'm a recent convert. Originally, I was like, all right, I hate using the numbered dice, as I know Grant is going to talk about how much he loves numbered dice here in a second. I only use D6, and then they made the D6, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And nah, these things are so much better than a regular dice. I was like blown away. So I use the D6. I use the purple D6. They match my sleeves. They match my deck box. And of course, they're not a cringy number. They're a beautiful D6 to keep track of damage counters the way Arceus intended in multiples of six. If you use D6 for fives also, just don't. This is a PSA for everyone. But Grant, why do you love TC Evolutions?
I've been using TC Evolutions forever, since I started playing. Somebody at my locals had them, like, what are those? I need them right now. So I use the numbers. I have a clever way of organizing them, with the different colors for each threshold. The V-Star marker is great. The numbers are just easy. If you have the system, you're 1 through 60, 10 through 60, one color, 70 to 120 a different, and your big number is a different one. It's easy. That's always the complaint, right? Is, oh,
Yes.
how am I going to find the one? Well, that's true. Also, customizing it and making a cool color scheme. They have the ability used ones. I have the ones from Worlds, the Japanese, which are awesome. We're seeing status conditions become part of the format more and more. They have those covered for you. Can't complain about anything. TC Evolutions it's the best quality. I see they've started to do Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
products. So they're expanding to different ones. And this is just top of the class, and really happy that they're a sponsor of the podcast, Lake 10.
Yeah, they're definitely something where you can feel the difference. So if you don't believe me, ask a friend at the next challenge you go to, and then once you see it, you're like, oh, these just feel good to use. But anyway, there's two more decks I want to talk about, even though there's technically more decks that exist. The first one, this is 99% of the reason why I asked Grant to be on with me today. That is a deck that is not seeing a ton of play, but is seeing a ton of success. And again, just like Arctina, if you don't believe me, that's okay. In the description box, you can look at the data yourself. We have Lugia V-Star. Now, of course, we lose our single strike energies, so we only have one type of Lugia left, and that is colorless Lugia. So, Grant, please, as the Lugia main, as someone who has day two'd more with Lugia than I have in the past year, why is this a deck again? Why would this thing resurrect?
Well, one, it's just such a powerful card, right? But two, the new Chinchino, stage one, does 70 times each special energy attached to it. Well, guess what? You're only playing special energy.
Yo, no way.
So five, I don't know, quick math. Seven times five is
350.
350.
It's
And
pretty
let's
good.
just put this into perspective. DTE is two minus 20. So for four energies, which is two Archaeops, is 330. And that just happens to be Charizard.
Wait, I have to look real. Is it special energy? Like energy
Oh,
card
or
or
cards. That's a good
it is
question.
energy card. Okay, so DTE would only be one special energy card. At least that's the current translation. We do not have the official English translation because those don't exist, but it looks like it says special energy card. So yeah, that would be 280 minus 20, what, 260? It's
And
Golden
yeah,
Go.
energy.
Just KO'd your Golden
Yeah,
Go.
right.
Bro, here
So
I was talking about how awkward 260 is to hit, and we hit it immediately.
one deck. Yeah, you get you still get to play the Snorlax. Snorlax is good. I've seen some lists that play the Charizard and Luminous Energy, which is fine. And then it depends on your A-spec. This is the only deck I've seen Master Ball appear in. I don't know why. You don't
Gotta
have to
find the
worry about, yeah,
Archaeops.
I guess. I think the belt's just a better choice. Yeah, there's the Master Ball. In that version, played Charizard. I guess the list I'd seen previously didn't. But you're playing a ton of energy. I mean, it's 17 or 18 energies. It's a
Oh
ton.
yeah, if you're gonna use the Cinchino, you have to, right? Because you shove four or five on it. If you attach from hand, gets knocked out. Well, you need four or five more.
Yeah, you need to do that three times potentially. The belt though helps your Lugia numbers reach, which is great. The only issue here is we're missing my favorite card, other than I guess playing Box of Disaster and Lugia. Never hit a Gardevoir. Is Burnett. We don't have Burnett, so you have to be creative in getting your Archaeops in the discard pile, which is very tough, as we all know. In our oh, there's a okay. There's some respect. I see the box there. Yeah,
One of
box is so
the
good.
most successful Lugia lists this past weekend did, in fact, play a Box of Disasters, as well as a TM Devolution and two Arvid.
And a vacuum.
And a
Okay,
Ditto. Oh, now we're talking.
we're wilding out here. Two fish. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, Lugia allows for creativity, but it's definitely going to be centered around the Chinchino. You have to, up your research counts. You have to, rely on your coin flips again still, which I guess people have forgotten about as Lugia's fallen off the map. But yeah, interesting and exciting at the same time. Getting your Lugia to take the first turn KO against a V or an EX potentially is great because you just want to go fast. You want to set up. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe there could be room for the Explorer card in here. It's a buffed up Serena essentially, reverse Serena, I suppose. I saw some memes with whatever the computer science guy putting the two cards to the top of your deck and then
Oh,
milling
yeah.
those away with like a Pokestop could be an option. So there's ways around it still, but I think and it has the same vulnerabilities as too. Like you play against Char, they get the bird going. Boss, give me an Archaeops. Okay. Boss, give me an Archaeops. Now what? Because
Yeah.
you're if you're manually attaching to Chinchino, it's still two attachment. You're not doing anything. So it'll run out of steam in that way. Other than that, I'm excited it's back. I day two to UIC last year with post rotation Lugia, and who knows, maybe we do it again, run it back.
There's enough good stuff in here. I'm an avid Lugia hater. I will not touch this deck with a 10-foot pole. But you got Mew, you got Lugia, not Lugia. Well, actually Lugia. Like you mentioned, the bell makes Lugia not suck. The amount of times you're just like, all right, here's a Roaring Moon or whatever, right? That's why it's so unplayable this format. You're like, our 230 HP Roaring Moon. They just KO'd your Lugia. You're like, I can't even KO you in return. Like, this is terrible. So yeah, the fact that your V-Star can now KO a moon or Qian Pao or whatever incredibly easily is kind of really nice, let alone whether you're running the Chinchino or the Mew or whatever else, Weirdier. It's a deck with options. It seems fine at the very least.
Yeah, the weirder we're seeing the lists are two totally different lists, right? One's an old build, the other's you don't want to play the weirder with the Chinchino,
No, it doesn't seem like the
because
best synergy.
you're putting a lot of energies down, great, but you're dying every time. 110 HP though, it's not bad.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, it could be worse.
Cramorant KOs it. That means it's bad.
Yeah, true. Maybe we put the cape in this one.
The last deck I wanted to talk about that I am pretty surprised is doing so well. We're seeing in terms of champion, the equivalent of championship points earned, it is the seventh most, despite being the eighth most played deck. So a little bit above success. We have the Great Tusk Mill, which is a deck that I am incredibly unexcited to play against. I'm an avid mill hater. I don't enjoy the archetype at all. Leave your angry comments in the YouTube comments. The attack ground collapse, discard the top card of your opponent's deck. If you played an ancient supported card from your hand during this turn, discard three more cards. So it can do four. As a 140 HP basic Pokemon, which is very good because you attach an ancient booster capsule, you now have a 200 HP Pokemon that can mill four cards per turn, assuming you can chain Sadas. You can't, but you're able to mill one, you're able to Sada mill four every once in a while. You're able to hand trimmer so they can't just sit there with a gigantic hand. So you're milling cards there. You go, okay, draw, 20 card hand. I own it all back. You're like, draw, and you're like, all right, hand trimmer. And you're like, oh no, I have to discard until I only have five cards left. So that 20 card hand, you milled 15 right there, right? So this seems, I'm afraid to say powerful, but this seems like it might actually just be a powerful deck. Grant, what are your thoughts? You have not. No, you did play. You did play when Cinccino Mill was a deck. So you have
I
played
did,
with a proper
yes.
good mill deck. What are your thoughts on this?
A proper good, but you don't like mill. I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna test it out. It seems like a lot of fun. They've given you so many tools to play with right now. One, like you said, you don't need to chain the Sadas because you have another ancient supporter now with the Explorer.
Wait, is that an ancient supporter?
Yeah.
Oh, this deck even got better than I thought.
Yeah, well, wait, let me keep going
No,
here.
I'm already crying. It's over.
Yeah, so there's another supporter, Eerie, maybe, I think it's called. So you talked about building up a big hand. There's ways around it. You could play an Eerie, look at your opponent's hand, choose two item cards, discard them. That's pretty good.
Pretty
I think
good.
that'll be in most of the control packages. You said it earlier, hand trimmer. So normally the way around things, you build up a big hand, you'll Iono them back into the hand. Well, not if you clipper
Yeah. That's
So you build up a big hand, you have 20 cards. Oh, they're all gone.
Yep.
Now your Iona is worthless. So if you have 7 to 8 supporters, not tough to chain those along. Like you said, the booster's great, builds it up, makes it easier. The natural synergy with Durant needed the DTEs, right?
Yep.
Now you can use Sada and then attach from hand. Mm-hmm. So to put 5 or 6 of them together isn't tough. Really cool deck. I've seen, let's see, what are the A specs? Yeah, Catcher and Cape, right?
Makes
so
sense.
Here's where we're seeing Cape be one. So you're making a beefy boy every time. Really cool. Easy to do, right? You're playing 4 or 5 Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So you have tons of space to play all the cards like we're seeing in there, the trekking shoes, which is awesome. Just churn through your deck, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Pidgeotto or Pidgeot with Forest Seal, you still get that. You'll never deck out. Awesome deck.
It actually seems like, and this is before I even realized that the Explorer was also an ancient card. So now it's even better, right? That's 8 supporters. So that is a potential 32 mil right there. That's enough to win the game off of that. But yeah, you have so many tools, right? We're seeing Mawile in some of the lists. We're seeing Mimikyu in some of the lists. And so these are just extra control pieces you can have. And of course, you have Countercatcher. You have Calamitous Wasteland as one of the lists, which is non-fighting Pokemon have 1 more retreat cost. So that's another one where you can just stick something in the active. You're like, all right, you can't even move this thing. And for anyone who played a deck like Durant remembers, if you get a second turn of mill, you usually can win that game. Like, the issue with these decks was always the chaining, right? When your opponent applied pressure without playing many cards, mill was unplayable. If you can remove the lack of pressure from your opponent or force them to play cards, that's when these decks become good. And so I'm not super excited, like I said, that this deck appears to be so powerful.
Yeah, I'm excited to test it out. When Durant was a thing, that was just my fun. When I played online,
mm-hmm.
to just get online and play a game or two and just make somebody's day terrible. I'm excited for Mill.
Live Ladder is not going to be a great place for the people who want to do that exact same thing.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a general rundown of these first couple weeks. Obviously, we have not played the format, but we've played enough Pokemon that we can kind of look at these lists and give our opinions on them. If you would like to do some of your own research or into that third week, the websites linked below will both keep updating every single week. They're really good at it. Highly recommend them for Japanese lists. Grant, where can the people find you if they want more from you?
You can find me on Twitter at RealBooCK. We're getting close to 400. I don't know. I don't really care about followers, but it's kind of cool. Might do a giveaway or something. I don't know. Hey. I've got a ton of world stuff and stuff that's just collecting dust in the storage unit that wouldn't be a bad way to get rid of. And so Twitter's the best space. Check me out there.
Myself, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mellow_Magikarp. Rate and review the show. Leave a thumbs up on YouTube. This has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. And we'll catch you all next week.